Hello to everyone from Karatz. Welcome to this pre-recorded service. Recording this on Friday evening, the 2nd of April. And this is for our evening worship service on the Lord's Day of the 4th of April. Just a few announcements. I mentioned the morning service. We hope that will be taking place on the 4th of April at 12 noon. And that will be uploaded to the website and CDs made and distributed as usual. Wednesday evening, the 7th of April at 8 o'clock in the church hall, the session is due to meet. Session meeting Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock. Then next Lord's Day, the 11th of April, morning service is due to be held in the church hall at 12 noon. And the evening service is again due to be pre-recorded on Friday, the 9th of April. I expect there will be some other announcements made at the morning service, but those are the announcements for now. We come to worship God then in this service of worship. We sing his praise using the words of Psalm number 73, the C version of the psalm. And that's on page 161 of our psalm book, Psalm 73C. The tune is Melita, number 264. And this portion at the end of the psalm begins with these words, "Yet evermore I am with thee. Thou holdest me by my right hand, and thou, even thou, my guide shalt be. Thy counsel shall my way command, and afterward, in glory bright, shalt thou receive me to thy sight." And the psalmist takes great comfort from the knowledge of being held, his hand being held by the Lord himself, the one who will be his constant guide. And so we sing praise to this God, Psalm 73C, singing the whole of this portion, and then afterwards I'll speak to God in prayer.
Yet evermore I am with thee, thou holdest me by my right hand, and thou, even thou, my guide shalt be. Counsel shall my way command, and afterward in glory bright shalt thou receive me to thy side. For whom have I in heaven but thee? None else may faint and weary be, my heart may fail and weary grow. With strength doth God my heart restore, he is my portion evermore. They perish that surely it is good for me that unto God I should draw nigh. I refuge take in God the Lord, that all thy works I may record.
Now we speak to God in prayer. Gracious God, we believe that it is good for us to draw near to you, and so we come to you now in our worship. And Lord, you know that we come to you in our weakness. We are those who do grow weary, and we know that our flesh can be faint, and we do experience heaviness of heart. And Lord, you know all these things, and you know our struggles. You know, Lord, all about us at all times. And we thank you, Lord, for that hand that you have upon your people. And we praise you for your steadying and holding hand. And we give thanks, Lord, that it is not our weakness that is the determining factor in things, but it is your strength. And we praise you for that great strength of yours. We thank you for the glory that you have in store for your people. And we praise you for the great hope that we find again and again in the scriptures. We ask that for your help now as we seek to worship you. Be with us, O Lord, as we look to your word. And we pray that we will find things there that will be good for us to remember, to reflect upon, and to carry with us in life. We pray for the working of your Holy Spirit, using the words of Scripture for the good that you intended in giving them. We pray that you'll forgive all our sins now. We look to you in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for him, and we pray that you'll help us to remember him today. In his name we ask. Amen. Well, we turn to read from the Word of God, looking to the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, and chapter 10. Last time in our evening service, we looked at the first half of John chapter 10, finishing at verse 21, and this evening I want to pick the reading up from verse 22 and then read on through to the end of the chapter. So John chapter 10 and reading from verse 22. This is God's word. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God'? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed. Then many came to him and said, John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true. And many believed in him there. And we end our reading at the close of this chapter. Early in the Gospel of John, we find in chapter 1 a summary of what happened when God's Son, the Lord Jesus, came to this world. We're told that he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And we see that happening clearly in the second half here of John chapter 10. We see that the Jews, Jesus' own people, they wanted to stone him to death, but they weren't able to. Now, this is the second half of John chapter 10. We looked last time at what Jesus says in the first half of the chapter about how he is the good shepherd, the one who would lay down his life for the sheep. And although the second half of the chapter doesn't take place at the same time, it has within it the same theme about Jesus as being the good shepherd. And it's all about Jesus as a shepherd and those who are his sheep and those who are not his sheep. Verse 22 indicates when this event took place. And it was at the time of the Feast of Dedication. And this was a couple of months after what we have in the first half of John chapter 10. The Feast of Dedication was in December. It was an 8-day-long commemoration feast, known also as the Feast of Lights, known as Hanukkah. It was a time when the Jews remembered events that took place in the year 164 BC. That's during the period between the end of the Old Testament and the start of the New Testament. It recalled a time when their nationhood was reasserted under a man called Judas Maccabeus, and the time when the temple was rededicated after it had been desecrated. It was a time when the Jews looked to God as the light, and they looked to God as the hope for his people. And here was Jesus in Jerusalem at the time of that feast of dedication. He is walking in a covered area of the temple. A few months earlier, he had been in this same place, and he had said then that he himself was the light of the world. But the Jews that were gathered there on this occasion, they weren't interested in that light. And their hearts were set upon putting out the light rather than embracing the light. And I want to note, first of all, in looking at this second half of the chapter, what Jesus says about those that he describes as not my sheep. There are people here, and Jesus describes them as not my sheep. The question that the crowd put to Jesus is in verse 24. They say, "How long do you keep us in doubt or in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And they're trying to push Jesus into a corner and to get him to say certain things. And Jesus doesn't allow them to dictate what he says. And in reply, he tells them that he has already answered their question. And the problem was that they weren't listening. Jesus says in verse 20-25, I told you, and you do not believe. And Jesus wants them to face up to the fact that they had already made their minds up about Jesus. It wasn't that they were in any doubt. It wasn't that they were being held in suspense. They had already been given plenty of evidence indicating who Jesus really was. And he reminds them of his miracles. And verse 25, he says, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And Jesus had done many wonderful miracles, and they spoke clearly of who he was. And he had done them in his Father's name. And he goes on then to tell them why it is that they do not believe in him. Verse 26, Jesus says, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. And that goes back to what Jesus is talking about in the first half of John chapter 10, where Jesus speaks about himself being the good shepherd. And he speaks about those who are his sheep, and his sheep hear his voice, and they follow him. They follow him because they know his voice. They trust him. He is their shepherd. They believe in him. And here are these Jews, and they had heard the voice of Jesus. They had seen the things that Jesus had done, but they were not following him. They were refusing to follow him. And Jesus says that their actions demonstrate what they are. They are not sheep of his. They're not. You're not my sheep, Jesus says. But it's not that he says, he doesn't say, you're not my sheep because you do not believe. But rather, he says, you do not believe because you are not my sheep. And if anyone truly belongs to the Lord, they will believe in him and they will follow him. And if a person persists in their unbelief, it's because they don't belong to the Lord. They're not among those who are given by God the Father to God the Son, and those for whom God the Son would lay down his life. The Good Shepherd would lay down his life for his sheep. And Jesus says, you're not my sheep. You're not of my sheep. These people had a different shepherd. And everyone who doesn't follow Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has some other shepherd that they will follow instead. So Jesus speaks here about those who are not his sheep. You're not my sheep, Jesus says. I know you're not my sheep. But then Jesus also speaks about those who are his sheep. And so secondly, I want to think about those he calls my sheep. There are those who are, he says, they're not my sheep, but then there are those whom he calls my sheep. And in speaking of those who are his sheep, Jesus is speaking about all who trust in him for salvation. Jesus says, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And the Lord Jesus is a shepherd, and he's not a shepherd without a flock. He has those that he is happy to call my sheep, and he knows them, and they're the ones who will listen to him. They're the ones who will follow him. And we today can be those whom Jesus calls my sheep. If you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, if he is your hope of heaven, If his work is what you trust in, then you are one of Christ's sheep. You belong to the Lord. You're not a wandering, lost sheep. You belong to the Lord Jesus. Jesus looks upon you and he says, "That's my sheep." You're his, and his mark is upon you. He claims you for his own. He has put his mark on you, and so no one can take you, because you've been marked as his. My sheep, Jesus calls his people. And Jesus speaks about how he treats those who are his sheep. And in these verses, verses 28 to 30, these are among the most precious words that God's people have. Jesus says of his sheep, he says, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And so Jesus says that for everyone who is one of his sheep, he gives eternal life. None of them, not a single one, will ever perish. And it is only those who are not Christ's sheep, who don't listen to his voice, who don't follow him, that will perish. And they will all perish. But Jesus assures us that he gives eternal life to those who are his sheep. And he reassures us that he has a firm hold upon his sheep. He holds us with his hand, or he holds us in his hand. He says, "No one can snatch them out of my hand. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." When a parent has a young child, and there's any danger around, well, then the parent will either take a firm grip off the child's hand, or the parent will pick the child up so that there's no danger of that child getting detached from the parent, that the child will be held safely and securely, either held by the hand or picked up and held in the parent's arms. And the Lord Jesus speaks of himself as being a shepherd, and as being a shepherd, and his sheep are safely held by him. The words in Isaiah 40, verse 11, may help to picture what Jesus has in mind. There it says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart." And Jesus is speaking here about how special and how precious his sheep are to him. They were given to him by his heavenly Father. They were a gift from his Father, and he treasures this gift. And whenever you really treasure something, you hold it close to you, and you make sure that you have a good hold upon it. And this is what Jesus does for those who are his sheep. Jesus will guard us, and Jesus will keep us with the utmost care and watchfulness. And not only does he speak of himself holding his sheep, but he speaks about God the Father also having his fatherly hand upon those same sheep. And Father and Son are one in this, says the Lord Jesus. And so if you're a believer You should take great heart from these words and from this picture that the Lord Jesus gives to us. These things should bring joy to your heart. You are not someone who has been deserted by the Lord your shepherd. You're not someone who has been left to find your own way through life, to find your own course in this evil world. You're not shepherdless, but you are in the care and in the hands of the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And he holds you close to his heart, and his arms support you, and his hand is upon you. And you are safe in the hands of the Good Shepherd, safer than anything that this world calls safe. Jesus is talking here about the security of his saved people. And those whom the Lord saves and makes to be his sheep, they cannot be unsaved. And that's the inescapable conclusion of what Jesus is saying here. Now, of course, we may know people who at a time appeared to follow Jesus, and now they don't seem to have any interest in Jesus at all. And now they've settled into a godless, shepherdless way of living. And we have to believe that those people were never truly Christ's sheep. They weren't saved. The Lord didn't have his hand upon them. Probably they liked the thought of being saved. It was an attractive thing to them. And probably it suited them to be in the company of those who were following the Lord. And now it doesn't suit them. But these words assure us that those to whom the Lord gives eternal life will never lose that life. No one can snatch Christ's saved people away from him. Now, it may be the experience of those who are followers of Jesus that we don't always feel that we are close to the Lord. There may be significant ebbs and flows in our love for the Lord, in our sense of his nearness and his presence. But through all of that, all of the ups and downs, the fact remains that we have eternal life because he has given us eternal life. And we shall never perish because we are held by an almighty hand. And our faith may waver, and it may fluctuate, and we may not be the most reliable of followers of the Lord Jesus, but our salvation forever rests upon the hand that is holding on to us. And those hands that hold on to us, they are truly safe hands. There are those of whom Jesus says, they are not my sheep. But there are those of whom Christ says, these are my sheep. The third thing I want to speak of from these verses is about responses to the shepherd. And in the closing verses of this chapter, we have some very different responses to the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd. How did the Jews who were listening to him respond to his words? Well, in verse 31, we're told that they took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus seeks to draw out of them the reason why they're doing this. And he asks them, which miracle that I have done, which sign that I have given you is the thing that is leading you to stone me. And they say, well, it's not because of any of your signs. It's not because of any good thing you've done. But they say it's because you're guilty of blasphemy. Because you, being a man, make yourself God. And then Jesus quotes to them from Psalm 82, verse 6. And within that psalm, God is speaking about those who are human judges over the people. And it says within the psalm, I have said you are gods. And these are mere men who are being described as gods. And Jesus argues that since the scriptures cannot be broken, and since the scriptures refer to mere men as being gods, well, how then can they automatically assume that he is a blasphemer because he claims to be God? They shouldn't just assume that he's blaspheming. They should consider what he is saying in the light of what he is doing. They should look at the signs. And they should consider the likeness between Jesus and the one he claims to be his Father. Jesus urges them to look at the evidence that he has displayed before them. And he says in verse 38, though you do not believe me, though you don't believe my words, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Well, that's not something that these Jews were willing to do. Their minds were made up. And they didn't want to consider any facts. They didn't want to consider any evidence that might suggest that they would need to change their minds. And so they continue to act against him. And in verse 39, they try to seize him, but they're not able to. And there's only one Jesus, but Jesus is able to escape from the crowd who want to seize him. And they can't stone him to death as they want to, because his time has not yet come. A few months later, it would be different. That would be the time for Jesus to lay down his life. but this wasn't the time. And so they're not able to do Jesus any harm. And so you have the response of the Jews. They want to stone Jesus to death, but they're not able. And Jesus escapes from them. And then right at the end of the chapter, we have a different kind of response. And John tells us that Jesus goes back across the Jordan to the place where John the Baptist had been baptizing in the earlier times. And there in that quiet place, away from Jerusalem, well away from Jerusalem, there in that remote place, many people come to Jesus there. And these people are very different from those that Jesus had contended with in the temple, at the temple precincts in Jerusalem. And John tells us what the sentiments of these people are. And they're saying, verse 41, John, that's John the Baptist, performed no sign. But all the things that John spoke about this man, that's Jesus, were true. They're saying, John talked about this man, and John said certain things about this man, and what John said was true. Well, what had John said about Jesus? Well, for example, he had said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Or John had said, I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God. And these people are saying, John was right. They believed that what John the Baptist had said about Jesus was true. And we're told that in that place many believed. Verse 42, many believed in him there. That didn't happen in Jerusalem, at the temple. In the city, among the leading Jews of the day, Jesus was rejected. They wanted to stone him to death. They refused to believe in what Jesus claimed about himself. But here out in the remote countryside area, these other people, they did believe. And we need to be among those who believe in the Lord Jesus. Jesus will be of no use to us unless we believe in him. And the Lord Jesus Christ is all that John the Baptist said of him. And the Lord Jesus is everything that Jesus claimed to be himself. In John chapter 10, Jesus claims that he is the good or the beautiful or the excellent shepherd. And he is. But the only way that anyone ever knows that Jesus is such a wonderful shepherd is by listening to him and following him. You cannot know how good Jesus is unless you give yourself to being one of his followers. You can't know the peace of Christ unless you follow Christ, unless you give him your all. You can't know that peace and that sense of the Lord having his hand upon you, having his arm around you, holding you and carrying you, unless you follow him. When you do follow the Lord Jesus, you'll know about these things. You'll know what a wonderful thing it is to have Jesus as your shepherd. To have that great, guiding, leading, protecting, all-powerful hand upon you, underneath you, and around you. That is a truly blessed experience. There's no greater place to be in all the universe than in the hands of Jesus, that great and excellent shepherd of his sheep. There are those that Jesus calls my sheep. And there are those, and to them he has to say, you're not my sheep. And today, all of us are either in one category or the other. Either we are those who are not Christ's sheep. We're not willing to listen to him. We're not willing to follow him. We're not willing to give our whole life to him. Or we are those who are willing to have him as our shepherd. And we will stake everything on following him and believing that that is the way to eternal life. The Lord Jesus says about his sheep, he says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. The Lord loves his sheep. He is so attached to his sheep. His sheep are so precious to him that he will not ever allow anyone to snatch those sheep away from him. What a blessing it is to be one of Christ's sheep. Amen. Well, let us now speak to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God in heaven, we thank you for these words, wonderful words of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, for all the ways in which he spoke, and for the comfort that there is for the Lord's sheep in the words that he chose. We praise you for how these verses speak to us about that hold that the Lord Jesus has upon his people. And we rejoice in this great truth. We thank you that the Lord Jesus is those who gives eternal life. And therefore, those who are given that life shall never perish, We thank you that no one can snatch away from Christ any of those to whom he has given eternal life. Lord, we pray that you will help us either to take comfort from this truth because it applies to us, or we pray, Lord, that you will use these words to give us a desire to know this thing that we don't know because we are not yet Christ's sheep. Lord, we pray that you will give us the faith to believe that in following Jesus, we will not be losing, but we will be gaining. And we pray, Lord, that the great shepherd would be adding to his flock, and we pray that there'll be those who will be followers of his, who have not been followers of his until now. We look to you, Lord, for your working in the world in these days, and we pray, O Lord, for the people in different parts of the world of Jewish background. We pray, Lord, for those coming now to Passover time. And, Lord, we pray that you will do a mighty work at this time, that those who are still celebrating that Old Testament rite and haven't grasped its fulfillment in Christ, those who haven't understood that Jesus is the Passover Lamb, Lord, we pray that at this time there'll be something that will show them the truth, show them the fulfillment of what that was all about. And Lord, we pray that you will be drawing people of Jewish background to yourself in these days of Passover season. We pray for the work of the International Mission to Jewish People. We pray for those missionaries in different parts of the world as they seek to speak to Jewish people about what Passover is all about, and about it not just being something that looks back to an ancient event, but that it was something that was looking forward. And Lord, may they come to see that there was one who was a spotless Lamb of God. And Lord, we look to you to do your saving work. We ask, Father, for your work within our congregation. Pray for the meeting of session coming up on Wednesday night. And we pray, Lord, for wisdom for all who will be involved in that. We look to you, Lord, in these times. And we pray that you will supply all that's needed in overseeing the work of your church here. We pray, Lord, for your work in other places. We pray for the congregation of Clare in our Southern Presbytery. We thank you for how the different congregations across our denomination were able to help with the funding of a manse for that congregation. We thank you for the building work that has been done. And we pray, O Lord, for that manse coming into use in these times. We pray for the Dundees as they would move to Clare, and as they would settle there and become part of that community. And we pray that will prove to be a great blessing within the life of the Clare congregation. We pray that there'll be much good that will come from that, and we pray that you help them and all the adjustments that will be involved in that. We pray, Lord, for the congregations in our Eastern Presbytery that have become vacant recently. We pray for Newton Ards, and Lord, we give thanks for that congregation. We pray for them in their work and witness there in that town, and we pray for them as they look to the future. Guide them, O Lord, and help them in the things that they'll be busy with in these days. We pray for those who are there to bring your word, and we pray for much encouragement in the early stages of their vacancy. We pray also for the congregation in Knockbracken, and we pray for them, O Lord, also not long vacant, We pray that they would know your care, that they will know, Lord, that you have a plan for their future and that you will provide. And we pray, Lord, that they will look to you, that they will trust in you, that they will believe that your timing will be good, and that you will provide what will be just the very best for them for the future. And so we pray for the interim moderators in those congregations, for Reverend David McCulloch and Professor Robert McCollum. Help them, Lord, in the responsibilities they have, and we pray that they will be able to serve faithfully in leading the work in those places. Give thanks, Lord, for the brighter evenings that we have now, and we praise you, Lord, for the changing seasons. We give thanks, Lord, that you have your plans in place for what will happen over these coming weeks and months. And we know and recognize that within government, the decisions that are made as to what will happen when are all couched in careful language. But we praise you, Lord, that with you there is no such thing. We thank you that you know, that your knowledge is complete and full. There's nothing lacking, and there's no uncertainties where you're concerned. And Lord, we rejoice that the one who has planned our lives is the one who knows all things. And we pray that you will help us to take refuge in you, to believe that the Lord who is our shepherd is the all-knowing one, the all-wise one, the one who knows what will be a good path on which to lead us. Help us, O Lord, to trust in the Lord our shepherd. Help us to trust that we don't need to know ourselves the explanation for everything, that we just need to follow our shepherd and trust him and believe that all will be well when we follow him. Lord, help us to be good followers of our Lord and Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our closing psalm is part of Psalm 37. Now, the tune is Denfield, number 73. Psalm 37, and we sing the stanzas from 19 down to 22. The Lord makes firm the steps of man, in his way takes delight, and though he falls, he's not cast out. The Lord's hand holds him tight. And that is our great comfort, the Lord's hand. He has a tight grip upon us. And we're assured that the Lord knows how to look after us. And the last stanza we sing, 22, because the Lord loves justice, he, his saints, won't leave alone. Forever kept, they're not like sons of sinners overthrown. We won't be left alone. We will be forever kept, and his hand will always be holding tightly onto us. So Psalm 37, singing 19 to 22, tune Denfield 73. We sing these stanzas in praise to God, and then afterwards I'll close in the benediction.
The Lord makes firm the steps of man, in his way takes delight, and though he falls, he's not cast out. The Lord's hand holds him tight. I once was young and now am old, yet I have not observed a righteous man forsaken, or his children begging bread. All day he's gracious and he lends his sons a blessing. Depart from evil and do good, and live forever. Because the Lord loves justice, he his saints would live alone. Forever kept their nuts like sons of sin at overthrown.
Now receive God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.